coming up on today's Compassion Radio.
Bram has had encouragement from so many of you to keep going, to keep doing what we're doing. We've had stations that are really happy to bring in a younger generation without losing the older generation that has been our solid support for so long.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Well, Jim, it's fun to be back with you today, and I really hope that our audience from yesterday is back with us. And if not, I hope you will go to the website and hear yesterday's program, because it was part one of my recollections of the history of Compassion Radio, where it began, how it changed over the years. And I just want to pick up from there, and Jimmy will get to the part where you came in to the family and have been such a major part for us.
Well, thank you, Cher. Great to be back with you again today. And that is one of the beauties of 2018, even for those of us who are technically challenged or maybe internet challenged. Cher, when you mention going back to listen to yesterday's program, it's really so easy to do that anymore. If you have an internet connection, just go to CompassionRadio.com. Right there at the home page, you scroll down a little bit. You click on the button where the podcast is, right there on the front page, and you can easily find yesterday's program, because we upload that podcast and we keep it daily for you.
So even if you don't know what a podcast is, that means you can find programs there, right?
That's right. Programs right there at CompassionRadio.com. You press a button and you can listen right there from the website.
And also you can sign up to get the podcast delivered directly to your electronic devices.
If you have the iTunes account or whatever the case may be, they're right there. We'd love to have you sign up.
Right. And if you haven't seen the new website, you really need to check it out. It will have more and more daily content for you so that you can get in the habit of coming there to see what's new. Bram right now is overseas getting stories for you. And when he comes back, he'll be diving into that full time.
Yes.
But
yes,
we want to get back to our story, because it's a long story and we want to get part two through today. So I left you with Norm and me going to Asia to cover the 35th anniversary of an orphanage that Wilbur built in Hong Kong, and also the 25th anniversary of a beautiful performance auditorium that he built in Busan, which is South Korea, that became a civic center for the whole city. It's just a beautiful, beautiful concert venue. And Norm was not particularly excited about Asia, but was willing to go to represent his parents. Well, we got to Hong Kong. Oh, fell in love with the kids.
Mm.
They were giving an unbelievable weekend of concerts and programs. It just unbelievable. The largest symphony hall in Hong Kong had given them time to give a concert, an evening concert. It seated several thousand people. It's just a magnificent building, and it totally filled it. I mean, we had no idea that there were that many people that were aware of the orphanage, first of all, but the churches supported it, and we just had the most marvelous time. Well, Norm got the itch to go across the border into China. Now, he'd never wanted to go, wasn't particularly thrilled that we were there, but he got the bug, and he tried every possible idea that he could find to try to get across the border. And it was like God said, nope, you're not going.
Mm.
We heard from several people, oh, do this. For sure you can get across. Talk to this person. They can arrange it. Nope. So we went on to Korea. We had a marvelous time at the girls' school there. Norm preached a series of revival services there. Unbelievable response to the salvation message. And we started back home on the flight, just sort of debriefing each other as to the various things we had seen and heard. And both of us were quiet for a while. And then Norm said, I've been thinking about something. And I said, well, you know what? God's got something on my heart too. You go first and then I'll tell you what I'm thinking. And it was almost like God had whispered in both of our ears the very same words. We both felt that we needed to change the entire focus of the broadcast. Mm. Not to the persecuted church, but the persecuted and triumphant church of Christ around the world, and what God was doing. We had heard stories of what Christians in China had gone through and what people that had escaped from, but the faith with which they came through it all.
Right.
We had heard unbelievable stories of incredible persecution, but in every story there was this wealth of faith and trust in God and how God had brought them through then. Well, we prayed about it for a long time on the flight home, and by the time we were back in the office, we were both convinced that this is what we needed to do. And we began to talk to the staff about it, and the staff was a little panicky. Everything was rolling along fine. The program was well-financed to be on the air. Nobody wanted to upset the boat, and we just felt that God was calling us to something. Well, but something phenomenal happened. The first day that we were back in the office, Norma's going through all of the stacked-up mail, and in the mail was an invitation for both of us to go to China, all expenses paid,
right,
for 10 days of meetings with underground Christians, with pastors, with all kinds of people, because the organization wanted us to raise funds when we came back for Bibles for China.
Because God was really doing something in China
that
time.
And still is.
And still is.
So we laughed and cried over that after all the doors that we had hammered on and all of the pleas that we had put out to get into China. Here was God saying, how about you do it my way? Here's what I have for you. And we went, and as I predicted, Norm's life was changed. He came back saying, I have experienced the New Testament church. I have seen the Holy Spirit alive and well, and we have to do this. And so our very first project was Bibles for China.
Right.
And we started our programming that way. And people responded beautifully. It was unbelievable, the response that we had. People had a soft spot for China that we never knew about. I still don't know what it was and why it touched so many hearts, but it was incredible. We did a couple months of raising funds for Bibles for China. And then we moved on the next month to another project, which we called a compassion project. And at this moment, I don't remember what that one was. But we found that people responded to that, too, that they were almost looking for some way to reach out to others around the world. And we were thrilled because we knew that we had hands and feet and fingers and toes that were severed from the body of Christ. And most of the American church didn't feel any pain about it. And we wanted the body to work together, to respond together, to hurt together, to heal together.
Now, looking back, Cher, backtracking just slightly, when you were talking about the orphanage that Wilbur had been involved with, was that not one of the first times where perhaps the radio listeners were also involved in that also?
Absolutely.
So this
that was our first compassion
right.
project, only we didn't know it at the time.
Exactly. So this was just an extension, really, of kind of that seed that Wilbur had planted.
And he was thrilled with what we were doing. He was worried about it. He was afraid that the funds would come just for the Bibles and not support the airtime for the ministry, which, of course, the funds had always gone to. But at that time, that wasn't true. People wanted to hear the broadcast, so they were willing, as they do with every other program, to support the expenses of airtime for the broadcast, but also give to the Compassion Project.
Right.
Well, probably 8-9 months later, we had been approached to provide relief supplies for a refugee camp in Gaza. Now, these were Palestinian Christians that were under great persecution. We knew that a lot of Americans were not interested in Palestinian Christians. They only wanted to support Israel. But how can you support Israel and then not support your fellow believers, your brothers and sisters that are in desperate need in other places? Now, there are generations of Palestinian Christians that have been incarcerated in camps. I don't even know how to describe them. They're not the refugee camps that you think of. They're layer upon layer upon layer of bad construction where generations upon generations have built on top of each other. It's the most heartbreaking situation you can imagine. And we didn't know if anybody would give anything for Palestinian Christians. But at the same time, we knew that we had to reach out in love to those in Palestine who did not have their faith in Christ, but needed to know about him. Mm-hmm. And of course, that included the Muslims. Now, would anybody in America give, in the name of Jesus, a cup of cool water, a slice of bread, in order to say, this is given from your Isa, your Jesus, who loves you? Well, believe it or not, people responded. Mm. Now, it took twice as long to get what we needed as it would have to raise Bibles for China or whatever. But people eventually gave enough that we could go, and we took it. As we do always, we go through a local Christian organization or church in the area that knows exactly what's needed, that knows exactly how to get it to people so things aren't wasted.
Hence the phrase, boots on the ground.
Exactly.
People already, they're doing ministry.
Yes, and know that they do it well, that they do it honorably. We've been in places where we've seen stacks and stacks and stacks of relief items at airports that never get distributed because they're the wrong thing. They don't fit the culture. They don't fit the situation, and it's just wasted. And we didn't ever want to waste a dollar that anybody entrusted to us. So we always investigated first and then took the aid or whatever the situation was directly so that we could see that it was all being honorably given. Well,
exactly. As
it turned out, we were delivering supplies to an imam that World Vision had led us to because they were witnessing to this imam. And these supplies were going to people that were living on the street, had been bombed out of their homes, and really were just in a desperate situation. And we were trying to explain to the imam why a California radio program was coming to Gaza to give food to a Muslim imam.
Right.
He was just mystified.
Yeah.
And as our interpreter tried and tried to understand, he looked at us strangely, and then a smile came across his face, and he said, "Oh, Compassion Radio."
Mm.
And we looked at each other, and at that moment, the name was born.
Right.
So it's hard to tell people, some people at least, that our program was named by a Palestinian imam in Gaza. But that is the truth. That's how we got our name.
The rest of the story. Yeah, that's it right there.
Now, some of you may remember that there was a name, an intermediate name in there, which was Life at Its Best.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was when we first came back from China, and we changed the name because we wanted people to focus on not the good life in America, but the best life, which is in service to Jesus Christ. That's where the joy is. The actual get up off your couch, get out there, get your hands on people and hug them and do things. That's the best life.
Get up out of the pew.
Yeah, exactly. And so we changed the name to Life at Its Best. Well, we thought it was really clear. We thought, and we explained it in every piece of publishing that we did and on the air. But we got flack from people that thought we were going, I don't know, thought we were going crazy.
Prosperity.
Yes. Prosperity gospel all the way. And that was not at all what we were after. So when the name Compassion Radio came up, we believed that God was leading us to a direction that people would really understand. And we got no heckling about that. People loved it. Some people were unhappy, of course, that we were changing the name again, and I don't blame them for that. But Compassion Radio has been fully understood by people. Well, finally, Wilbur did retire to his Saturday program only, and I think Norm just really came into his own. He went into a lot of interviews, as those of you who are listening know, and just love talking to people who are doing things around the world that were so creative and God-driven and things that nobody else would know about because they weren't out trying to get attention or trying to get any PR. They were just there doing God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thinkers in this country who were studying the scriptures and finding new ways to understand how to apply scripture to situations like that. He was an academic. He used to call himself a closet academic, but there was no closet big enough for him.
Right. Yep.
He read and read and read and studied. And when he would find the thinkers, the inspirers, the great minds that God had given to the evangelical world, he loved interviewing them. And you all responded to it. You seemed to really understand what Norm was trying to do for you. He tried to build you libraries by selecting books as premiums for your giving that could build your own personal library. He didn't pick popular things. He didn't pick what he used to call Jesus junk. He picked things that he wanted you to know and was always disappointed that not everybody chose to have the premium when they gave, but he was dedicated to your education, to your inspiration, to goading you into going with us, either actually going with us or going and doing for the Lord in other ways. Then we began to have some trouble. Well, the first thing that happened was Bram, who was our announcer and producer, had a massive stroke. Many of you will remember praying for him. We, first of all, didn't know if he would live. And secondly, it didn't look like he would ever speak again. His whole side was paralyzed. Things were grim. And at that point, we went to an old friend with whom we had traveled several times in Asia, loved beyond words, and had so much fun with, and that was our precious Jim Governale.
Whoa! Is that where I come
That's
in?
That's where you came in. And Jim stepped in, absolutely cold, took over all of Bram's responsibilities, and just did an amazing job, and did it with the warmest heart and the sweetest spirit that you could possibly imagine. And stop blushing. It's all true.
I'm giving this on tape, too. Nice!
And you all remember when you first began to hear Jim's voice, and it was a gift beyond measure to Norm. He loved having Jim in the studio with us, and then poor Jim would have to sit in Norm's office and have Norm talk for hours afterwards because he just loved sharing things with Jimmy because he was always so appreciative. And so it was not just helping us to get through Bram's ordeal, which, by the way, you all are aware that he came through by the grace of God unbelievably. He still has physical issues from it, but God has restored his mental capacities and his speech, and he is just, well, we're just so proud of the job that he's doing now.
Amen. That time was my joy, Cher, just the time that I got to spend with Norm, and I look back on that. That's just a treasure that I will always have. The time that I would spend in the office there with Norm, the time that we would spend in the studio, when I would sit there and dial up our interviewer, and when Norm would first greet whoever he was going to interview, there was just a joy. There was just a sense from Norm that, oh my goodness, I am so thrilled that this person would take time out of their busy day to spend with us on the program. But it was just, for lack of a better term, it was just radio magic. You know, it really was. Mm-hmm. So,
but Jimmy became a gift beyond that. It was not too many years later that we began to notice changes in Norm. First some behavioral changes, then some personality changes, and then a lot of physical things. You know, those of you who've been with us for so long, you've prayed him through so many things, the heart attack, the stroke, the infections, the so many things. And we were going to probably 6 or 7 different doctors in different fields trying to figure out what was wrong. And Jimmy became Norm's anchor in the studio. He could not have done the programs that he did for his last couple of years without the security of Jimmy being there with him. And it was funny, he could walk in there so confused and so disoriented and sit down and look at Jimmy across the table and go right into, I mean, God just gave them this relationship together, this magic together that just, I don't know how God did it through them, but it was wonderful to watch.
It was a gift, no question about it. I enjoyed every moment of it. And the amazing thing is, as the tape would roll and we'd have our conversations and whatnot, you know, I still have all that audio. I still have those conversations. And from time to time when we're putting together kind of a best of program, I'll sit there and just get misty-eyed listening to Norm because it feels like he's going to call me any minute, you know?
I wish he could. No, I don't. I'm happy that he's where he is, but I wish he could call me too. So Jimmy was there then through the worst of that. And when, you know, Norm thought he was going to live to be 100. So although he had chosen Bram as his successor and worked as though that were going to happen, he never really set Bram up on the air with you as the fact that he was Norm's successor. Because, of course, he thought his parents both lived to almost 100. So he thought he'd go on forever, too. But when we had to transition quickly into Bram, when it became just impossible for Norm to do anything, Jimmy saw us through that transition too. And it was really difficult for Bram because you're stepping into big shoes when you take over for somebody who wasn't exactly the founder, but was there when the founder founded it. So
exactly.
Practically exactly. Are. But Jimmy helped him through that transition and has just been a rock for us. And so we're here now, the end of all of these years, going into our 75th year, and praising God that we're still here. But friends, if we're going to stay here with you, we need your help. Now, we had to make some changes because of things that were happening with your giving. We had to cut back on some of the Compassion projects as far as what we can channel to them. We still bring them to you for your prayer, for your involvement, for your love, but we have to pay the airtime. And I believe that you believe in the information that we bring to you. Graham has had encouragement from so many of you to keep going, to keep doing what we're doing. It's been very encouraging. We've had stations that are really happy, that feel like the change is really good to bring in a younger generation without losing the older generation that has been our solid support for so long. But now that you understand that we have to cover our airtime first, because that is a responsibility that we've taken, and we will continue always to have Compassion projects that we will give to, that we will point you to, we need your support. We don't want to have to start dropping stations, but we are at that point, friends. Please, if you've ever given to a Compassion project, keep us on the air so that you know about these things, so that you know what's happening in God's world. Give us generously as you can. I hate doing this, and Wilbur was always so strong about not pleading with people, and I don't want to plead you into giving. I want to know that you believe in us. Believe in Bram. Believe in what God wants you to know through the program, that you will support us.
Friends, when you give to Compassion Radio, you're not just giving to a radio ministry. You're giving to a kingdom cause. We go places that many people don't go. In fact, for the past 30 years, Norm and Cher have gone to almost 150 countries at last count, finding out where God's hand is at work and joining in the effort to reach people that have never heard of him before. The kind of that last mile gospel. So you help us do those things in ways that many people just can't. We're intrepid, of course, but you go with us in every one of those adventures. And then we bring the stories back to you of how your investment in Compassion Radio made the difference for so many key people that are on the front lines of faith. We thank you for standing with us. We need you this month to do that very thing as we head out to discover some brand new stories of God's revival across Eastern Europe, and what's happening in the Far East and in South Asia. There are great stories coming, and we can't go unless you send us.
And the bottom line is, these are stories that you just won't hear anywhere else, friends.
Friends, when you give to Compassion Radio, you give to something that's bigger than even I can imagine. Now, I'm stepping into this chair as your host after 74 years of incredible leadership by Wilbur and Norm Nelson.
And so far, it's just been a piece of cake, right, Graham?
Yeah. Well, since nothing that Norm ever did was easy, or the places he went to were ever easy places, no. But what it is meaningful and worthwhile. And those kind of adventures, I think, are important because they have eternal significance. And we're going to go visit people in the next few weeks that are suddenly discovering the power of the gospel to reach into public schools in countries that have been completely communist for the past 50 years. Think about that. Now, those stories are not making the media yet, but we're going to meet people in the next few weeks that actually are winning souls to Jesus in the classroom across Eastern Europe. That's going to be a great story to tell. And we're going there because you folks are sending us. As you give, we go.
I am so looking forward to these stories, getting them on the air, and it's going to be awesome. So let's make it happen.
Friends, here's how you can get a hold of us right now. By mail at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859.
And when you give us a call at 1-800-868-2478, you will speak to a wonderful voice on the other end who will love to hear from you. 800-868-2478.
Don't be afraid to ask for prayer cover for something that God's allowing you to go through right now, because this is a team sport, friends, as we engage together in fighting the spiritual battles overseas on the front lines of faith. There are front lines right here, too, and we can join in with you in whatever God's put you in. So call us today at 1-800-868-2478. And of course, online at CompassionRadio.com, you can drop us a message any time of day. You can add a note to any one of your gifts to Compassion Radio, and there's also email links for any questions or prayer requests you might have. So take advantage of all that at CompassionRadio.com.
Anytime, friend, that you can take a minute out of your busy day to just pop on over to our webpage, CompassionRadio.com, or give us a call. It just means so much to us, friend. So please do.
Jimmy, that number to reach us would be 800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. The website is CompassionRadio.com. And, of course, that's up 24/7. And if you're fond of things like stamps and envelopes, we still take that kind of mail.
Really?
We really do. And that address is P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859.
Thanks for joining us today, friends. Tune in tomorrow for the next Compassion Radio.